The Lord be with you all.
Also with you.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, and all God's people said. It is the beginning of Lent, the season of our repentance and return to God. And as the prophet Joel encourages us, rend your hearts, not your garments. We mark this beginning of a new season with an ending, so to speak. Ash Wednesday is an end as well as a beginning. Ash is, of course, a powerful signifier, a powerful symbol. Ashes are what's left over after something's been burned up, obviously. Burned up, destroyed, annihilated in the fire. Ashes are a reminder that something has returned to dust. Returned, never to come back, unless by some miracle God were to will it to come back. And for that reason, ashes signify judgment, condemnation, and the end. Earth to earth, ashes to ashes, dust to dust. You know the words. But by the same token, ashes also signify a cleansing, a purging, renewal, the place of new birth. It was on a heap of ashes, on the ruins of a destroyed town, that the city of Phoenix rose up and was built. It was on heaps of ashes in which 95% of the town was destroyed in 2018 that Paradise, California, is being rebuilt. And so it is with our lives. What has been consigned to ashes, what has returned to dust, is in fact the starting point of our own personal renewal. Do we need a new start? Do we desire for a cleansing, a renewal, and rebirth? If you can say yes to that, then Ash Wednesday is for you. Now, renewal has to do with repentance. What is repentance? Repentance is literally a turning around and walking in the opposite direction. Repentance is more than a transaction. You cannot buy repentance by receiving ashes. Repentance is not a quid pro quo system. Say a little prayer, get a little bit of ash, and God is pleased enough not to punish you. Repentance is not outward, but it is inward. As the prophet Joel says so well, rend your hearts and not your garments. True repentance, in other words, is not a matter of outward ritual motions. It is an inward turning of the heart. Repentance is not sorrowful feelings. It can entail sorrowful feelings, but that's not the gist of repentance. Rather, repentance is purposeful movement. We don't attempt to conjure up feelings of remorse or sorrow, or worse than that, to put on a maudlin show of emotion and false humiliation. The ashes on our foreheads are not a way of taking pride in our humility or displaying how spiritual we are. Repentance, instead, is an admission that if we take God seriously, things will have to change in our lives. There will have to be a turning around and a walking away, in other words. That thing, that lifestyle choice that tempted us, that drew us in, that sustained us, and then dragged us down, that thing, those things are consigned, ashes to ashes, dust to dust, so that something new can take hold. Do you know what it needs to change in your life? Do you know what needs to change? Have you got that kind of firmly in your mindset? Do you know yourself? Do you know yourselves well enough to know what needs to change in your life? True repentance means that without apology or defense, we ask to see what is truly in us. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts, and see if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Psalm 139. Search me, O God. That's part of the process of repentance. Notice that when we pray that prayer, we are literally asking God to accompany us on the journey of repentance. We do not make this journey of repentance alone, because left to our own devices, we will either justify our sinfulness 1,000 times over, or we'll beat ourselves up because of our low self-esteem. Instead, when we repent and ask God to forgive us, renew us, and lead us, as we say in our liturgy, we are asking Him to show us truly what is inside of us. That is the only way that we can be saved from puffing ourselves up or beating ourselves up. And just what is it that God might be turning you from this Lenten season? What might He be turning you from? He may turn us from our self-centeredness, that much is probably true, from our incessant efforts at claiming the throne of our lives from our Lord Jesus Christ. For example, He might be turning us from our tendency always to decide who deserves our forgiveness and grace and who ought to be criticized and condemned. He might be turning you from your tendency to compete with other people through achievement, through popularity, through looks, or through possessions. He might be turning us from our pattern in relationships. What have we missed in our close relationships? How have we subtly, or maybe not so subtly, disrespected, discounted, or dismissed someone who is made in God's image? Or how about this one? Have we neglected our own family members by ignoring or minimizing their voices and needs? You know, they always have those sayings about, how men have this frequency where, strangely enough, the frequency of their wives' voices cannot be heard at times. You know that one, man. You know what I'm talking about. Have we neglected our own family members by ignoring, minimizing their voices and their needs? Have we taken our spouses for granted, not recognizing that our marriages, for the miracles that they are, God joining together two disparate people into one flesh relationships, have we taken that for granted? And for that matter, have we taken our church for granted, not recognizing this body for the incredible miracle that it is? God joining every joint and sinew together in a body with Christ as the head? That's a miracle, folks. Have we been taking that for granted? Have we allowed for affections of every other kind to adulterate our affection for the Lord and for His household? And assuming that at least part of this list that I just rattled off might ring true for you, have you asked God, by any chance, to take these things from you and to consign your sin to the ashes, ashes to ashes, dust to dust? St. Teresa of Avila understood the value of self-knowledge. She writes that self-knowledge and the thought of one's sins is the bread with which all palates must be fed, no matter how delicate they may be. We cannot be sustained without this bread. Now, what does she mean by that? Simply that when we honestly face up to what is in us and offer this up to God, we are strengthened. It becomes our nourishment. In God's loving hands, even the truth about our sins serves to set us free. We ask to know ourselves that God may gently and lovingly work salvation more deeply into our lives. This is true healing repentance. And it points to a very important truth. Ultimately, in the work of repentance, we don't do the turning. God turns us. I want you to think for a moment about this prophet Jonah, who is a favorite prophet of some of our members, by the way. Think about Jonah, this reluctant prophet of God. The Lord commands him to preach to the Ninevites. And in his disobedience, Jonah not only refuses to go, he goes down to the seaport of Joppa, books passage on a ship that is going to take him as far away in the opposite direction from Nineveh as you could get. It's a westward-bound ship carrying the prophet commissioned with an eastward-bound mission. Jonah is walking or sailing in exactly the wrong direction, in direct disobedience to God. And you probably know the rest of the story. They throw Jonah off the ship. Jonah gets swallowed by a great fish. And the fish, really God's fish, happens to be eastward bound. After 3 days, not even the fish can stomach Jonah any longer and spews him up on dry land, within striking distance of Nineveh. Remember, ultimately, we don't turn any more than Jonah could steer that fish eastward, even if he wanted to, straight towards Nineveh. God turned Jonah around because God turned the fish around, turned him not just toward Nineveh, but turned him back to himself. Jonah was turned back to God. What is he turning you from? He is turning us from our sins. And what is he turning you toward? Himself. And so Jonah goes to Nineveh, and amazingly, the people listen. The greatest revival perhaps in all history breaks out. They repent, and even the king sits in ashes, signifying his repentance. And then here's the best part. God forgives them. That's what God does. He loves. He forgives. Who knows whether God will not turn and relent and leave a blessing behind him, a grain offering and a drink offering for the Lord your God, a sort of a Tavia from Fiddler on the Roof moment. Who knows? Because this is the goodness of our God. That's the Lord for you, gracious and merciful, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love. Just one more word about Jonah. Just as Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days, so Jesus will be in the belly of the earth, that is, in the tomb, for 3 days. And just as the third day Jonah was spit up on dry land, Jesus is going to emerge from the tomb on the third day, so that we who die and turn back to dust and ashes, united with him in baptism, can be raised with him to newness of life now. Newness of life now. In other words, we do not wait until we die for newness of life. We start experiencing that resurrection life now with Jesus. And we experience it in full on that final day of resurrection. God will raise the faithful up on the last day, and we will live forever in his kingdom. When we celebrate Ash Wednesday, we prepare for that final Easter, the day when Jesus will return and raise us all up from the grave. You are dust, and to dust you shall return. Many of you heard those words given personally to you a little while ago. Ash Wednesday is the end, but it is also the beginning. And because of that, we could just as easily mark the cross on your foreheads and recall another time when a cross was marked on your foreheads. When something like these words were spoken over you. When the sign of the cross was made upon you at your baptism. And these words, or something like them, were spoken. Child of God, receive the sign of the Holy Cross, both upon your forehead and upon your heart. Remember, rend not your garments, but your hearts. Child of God, receive the sign of the Holy Cross both upon your forehead and upon your heart to mark you as one redeemed by Christ the crucified. Amen. And behold, today in his name, today, as the prophecy says, God has indeed sent us grain and wine and oil, the oil of the Holy Spirit, that we may no longer be a reproach and that we may be satisfied forever in him. Repent, remember, and rejoice this Ash Wednesday. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.